You'd be angry, too, if you were cut from your third-grade Boone County football team. Here's Richard Skinner, Tom Gamble, and a legitimate quarterback, Tony Pike, for the second season of The Angry Quarterbacks.
Welcome in to the first episode, Season 2, The Angry Quarterbacks, and we've got the angry guys both here and the quarterback. Somebody's got to legitimize the program, so he's back. Former Reading, UC, and NFL quarterback, one Tony Pike.
I like the fact of, why is it plural quarterbacks when there's literally only one guy that's played quarterback in the frickin' room?
Huh? I don't know.
How did that happen? Well, what did you ever quarterback?
I quarterbacked the program.
Yeah, he's the quarterback.
Quarterback of this nonsense.
Don't take up for him, Tony, for Christ's sake.
Well, I lead, you follow. Okay. Trust me.
I was listening, and you guys truly are angry.
There's no question.
I mean, you. Did you look at the eclipse yesterday just out of curiosity?
No, I didn't.
That's why we're angry. There you go. You were a smart one. All right, here we go. Three segments. We're going to kick some football topics around, and we'll start with it was a short week. Actually, it's Southeast Indiana, because there aren't that many schools over there, but Indiana started full force. They do a 9-game regular season. Kentucky starts with this ludicrous week 0, which is the dumbest damn thing ever.
Kentucky has 11 weeks to complete 10 games, and most of them take the bye either the first week or the last week.
But I'm just curious, before we get into this, so you have the neighboring, the tri-state, each of the three states has a different playoff system. Indiana, 9 weeks, everyone gets in.
Everyone.
Kentucky, 11 to play 10. Almost everyone's based on.
I think it's all but seven.
Is that really what it is?
It's all but seven schools.
Then why?
I don't know.
Okay, but basically it's based on district competition geographically.
Yes.
And only where you can finish dead last and winless in your district and be shipped off because another district doesn't have enough.
That is correct.
Well, and that's the participation trophy part of sports that we have today.
Everybody can say they played in the playoffs. Yeah,
but then in Ohio, which most coaches abhor, I love it.
I
don't have any issue with it, which is basically it's divided by class into regions.
I think there's too many classes, but I do love it.
I would agree with that. But then from there, you then base it on how many games you win, and essentially second and third level points based on who you beat and who they beat.
Correct.
The only thing I don't like about Ohio is how you get down to that last week, and there's some of that stuff where, you know, if these two schools beat,
But by that stage, you should have taken care of your own business by that stage. Right.
Correct.
Well, I think when you add both Kentucky, I like the bye week because teams need that because how physical football is. And then Ohio, you get rewarded for playing better competition.
Yeah.
I mean, St. X was 5-5 last year.
Right, and ends up winning a state championship.
Yeah, 4-5 and had to win the last week
just to get in. Correct.
And I wonder, you know,
the only thing I'll tell you about Kentucky and Indiana is look at some of those first round scores.
Oh, they're awful.
It's absurd.
They're awful.
Absurd.
Would you like the participation trophy or to say, hey, I played in the playoffs, but I got beat by 70, or we just didn't?
No, I'd like to say I earned my way into the playoffs and lost a good game because I was a good team.
There's no way if you're 0-10 or 1-9. And
those kids don't want to play.
Absolutely.
I'll give you
an
example. As you know, my daughter went to Beechwood High School.
Yeah.
She was a cheerleader, so I went to their first playoff game
last
year.
A lot of their first couple games.
It was 49, and it was a running clock when the second half began. How's that fun for anybody?
Any of them. I mean, Beechwood doesn't want that either.
No.
So there you have it. Now that we're off and running and we know how we feel about the playoff system, let's talk about the abbreviated week last week. And I'm going to start in Northern Kentucky with Covenant Catholic, where they had lights for the very first time. And if there was ever a year to turn the lights on the Colonels program, it might be this one because they are a very – I think they've got a ton of talent. Now, quarterback got injured, A.J. Mayer, correct?
Yes. Yep. Sprained his knee.
In that game. But the bottom line is if you look at them long-term and they're able to keep some key guys healthy, they could make a legitimate deep run in the playoffs.
Yeah, and especially it used to be Highlands they had to go through, and while Highlands is better because – got a chance to see them Friday. I don't think they're good enough to probably beat Covenant Catholic this year. Bowling Green's still out in the state, but worry about that when you get to that far into the playoffs. But they are, and Eddie Evanson's just a really good football coach.
I think Mayer coming back is the biggest key for them because anytime you have a quarterback, I believe he's a Miami commit.
Yeah, he's
he's got the ticket wrote for the next level. I got a chance to see Highlands against St. X, and it wasn't very good for Highlands. Although coming up in the system, they got some
good they got stuff some young guys.
On.
Yes.
But I think a lot of it revolves around Mayer. And you know, are you the same when you come back from a sprained knee?
Yeah.
Do you think about
time
it
time will
at
tell,
all?
I
right.
guess. I mean, you know that you've been injured before and know what it's like to come back. Yeah, his younger brother, who's only a sophomore.
Michael.
He's going to really, really be, I mean, for a sophomore.
He's absurd.
And Cam Butler, too. I mean, they've got some depth. They've got some size. They've got some speed. Casey McGinnis coming out of the backfield. Kufkas pretty darn good. And their schedule, I mean, they're going to be well-tested by the time you get to postseason time.
Yeah, and that, like I said, they beat a – what it's going to probably – I shouldn't say a really good 6-8 team. They were last year, Ryle. I think they're not as bad as that score indicates.
No,
I think
right.
they're solid. But they a 5A roll to 6A, and you start looking around some of the rest of the schedule, I think they are going to be tested by the time playoff time comes. And he's a proven winner. The guy's just a winner.
When you look in Northern Kentucky, besides Kufkas, who are the other teams that you think this year – You know, I certainly
Simon Kenton for sure. They lost their quarterback Cam Rackey, but last year they played him and another guy that was like a 1-1A
yep,
circumstance.
Right.
So they really don't miss a beat with that. They're so deep anymore. I think I counted it. They're almost at 100 kids maybe on a
no,
roster.
No, they are. They've got
like
about
that.
They got 90. I think 96 is
yeah,
what
okay.
they had. But that's and Jeff Marksberry has done a great job of getting kids out, keeping them in the program.
Correct.
And if you're going to compete at the big school level, you've got a two platoon. You've got to do that.
Well, and their only issue, unfortunately, I think it's the same. There's two 6A districts in Northern Kentucky.
Right.
Is you have to go through Louisville early this year, and for whatever you're not beating Trinity or the X's of the world. You're just not. It hasn't happened. It's not going to happen probably in my lifetime, for goodness sakes.
And
it is
small
what it is.
School, you got Beachwood. I mean, defending state champs and very, very talent laden.
Didn't,
I mean,
didn't lose very many
no,
seniors.
No, I was going to say, they got a ton coming back.
Had a really good young crew.
And their schedule is difficult.
Yeah, there's a possibility, believe it or not, they go 6-4 in the regular season. I don't think it'll be quite that bad, but it is a possibility because they play Kufkas,
right.
which actually handed them their only loss last
yep.
year, and they beat them pretty badly. They got Somerset, they got Corbin, which are bigger schools and good programs. So it's a tough road for them. But I think, hey, look, if they got to 6-4, 7-3, and those were their losses, and they played well in maybe two of those three games, they're getting to at least the state championship.
I think
again.
Too. I think you touched on it. You don't value enough in high school sports when you're able to go to platoon.
Right,
and you get these numbers out because going ones versus ones is a lot different, especially on the high school, because you see it at the professional and college level, scout team this, scout team that. If you have two groups of ones going against each other in high school, I mean, essentially you're getting two or three extra scrimmages per
right.
week in practice where you can go to high levels opposed to breaking into groups.
Only I'll ask you, when you were at Reading, I'm going to guess you probably guys didn't two platoon, right?
My senior year, we had a chance, all but about three people.
Really? Okay.
Went both ways. So we build up to that, but the last couple years you've had no chance.
You know, as a high school kid, you want to try to do everything, so you
right.
want to try to play both. But I know some of those programs that have done it. Highlands is one that did it before a lot of schools were doing it. Part of it was Dale Mueller at the time, he wanted just more kids involved.
Yep.
Now, he had the players to do it. It wasn't like he was throwing guys out there that didn't belong out there, but he wanted more kids to be able to play. And I think you can tweak that some. If you got a wide receiver who's just an exceptional athlete and you go, hey, yeah. I need you as a nickel corner on third down early yeah. in the game
well,
in
that's
a tight
different.
Game. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
I mean, but I think if you're 5A or 6A and you've got guys going both ways, you're going to come up against good teams who don't
yep.
do that.
Yeah, it's really
hard. I mean,
hard.
I've seen games where teams that don't two platoon, by the time you get to the latter part of the third quarter and the fourth quarter, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, especially when you got your really good – because who's going to be going both ways? Your best players.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's
– We always ran the buzzsaw of you'd get to a Kettering altar or something like that, and they would just – they're definitely two platooning.
You mean when altar runs out the
court.
Kickoff team
yeah.
and then they just run off?
Yep.
I mean, altar literally has their own kickoff team.
I think I could have been a two platoon guy, but there's just not many 6'6", 140-pound spots on defense.
Could have been a rush end. You'd have been a good rush end, wouldn't you?
I want to ask you, Tony, one thing. You obviously played
free
the game.
Free safety, never make a tackle.
My freshman year, I was at safety, and I got run over, and the guy stepped through my lip. I had four stitches, and I never
you
played
said that's enough.
Again.
I've had enough of this crap.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good segue into what
and
I'm
then in
about
practice, you wore the
about.
Red jersey, so they never
oh,
touched
yeah.
you, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Numbers are down. I mean, you talk to coaches at all levels, small school, big school, whatever the case may be. I think numbers are down. Football's under a little bit of a challenge here. Obviously, all the concussion issues from the NFL on down. What do you, from your standpoint, from talking to coaches and from I know you work with some of the kids, what do you think? I mean, what do you think is going to happen? Is it going to be a? How does football maintain keeping kids, especially at the youth level, to continue to play on up through high school and beyond?
Well, I think the biggest thing at the youth level is just knowledge for the coaches. I think a lot of times you get coaches at the youth level who see something on Sundays or see something on Saturdays and they line these kids up in an Oklahoma drill and they're going full go and these kids don't know how to tackle yet. If you have a coach that can teach how to tackle properly, if you can do tackling drills in confined areas, so you don't just have to go 11 on 11 all the time, but you can do 5 yards apart, go up and make a tackle. if you do too much 11-on-11 as a, you know, as a quarterback, someone rolls into you, you get hit from the blind side. But knowledge to the coaches and then knowledge to the players, how to hit, how to tackle, how to keep your head up, how to protect yourself. You know, how as a quarterback can you understand defense and this and that to know when a blitz is coming off your backside. So I think the problem is going to be knowledge and teaching a little bit more, and then implementing, you know, strength training to these kids, speed, quickness stuff on the football fields to try to take down on these injuries, because no matter what, you're going to be at risk in any sport you play.
Well, I was going to say, you're never going to get rid of the inherent risk of playing football. It's a contact sport.
It's going to be there, but you can get a concussion in volleyball and baseball. I mean, it's going to go anywhere, but at the same time, you know, advancements and helmets and all that stuff are going to continue to get bigger and bigger.
The only other thing to this is, and I think this is just probably inherent of sports, but probably more so football, maybe why the numbers are down. If you don't think you're going to be a key contributor, for lack of a better term, you just don't want to put the effort in. And I think I sound like an old guy saying that, but I think for a lot of kids, it's, I'm not going to play, so the hell with it. I'm not going to play.
Well, you look, too, what we just spoke about, you know, you got Kentucky sent everyone to the playoffs. If I'm a freshman or sophomore and I go in there and I either get playing time or I'm watching and you're getting beat by 70 points, I'm not going to be jumping at the bit to come back next year and say, let's do this again.
That school that they played last year in the first round, I counted them. They had 19 kids. Two of them were hurt because I counted six subs on the sideline.
So
six.
Think about that.
Six.
Think against Beachwood.
Yes.
Yep.
Crazy.
There's a 2A school in Northern Kentucky. 1A is the smallest level for those that maybe. Yep. 2A is the next one up. 25 kids on the roster from freshman on up. 25 kids.
I was told by somebody.
How do you function?
I was told by somebody at a public school they started with 32. They're now down to 24. And basically, when the freshmen came, so they got a list of there was 100 or so freshmen. The coaching staff called that 100 freshman group. Two came out.
Wow.
I mean, and I would tell you this. I think specialization. I think the fact that you're asked to be, and I've heard this from kids.
See, I don't know if I agree with
that. No. But what I mean is, though, if you're not going to start, if you're not going to be a contributor, and you're looking at how much time and effort you're going to have to put in, whereas you could be working, doing something different, you're going to be, why the hell am I going to do this? I don't know. It's going to be an interesting time. It's right, and I've heard more people involved with the sport who are at least taking notice of knowing that their sport is kind of under attack, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, in the next 10 years, you could see some of these smaller school programs just simply not have football because they don't have enough guys. Yeah. So.
All right, there you go. Segment number one in the books. We are the Angry Quarterbacks. I am Tom Gamble.
What the hell am I quarterbacking?
Two angry guys. You're quarterback right now. You're just, honestly, you're waiting.
Yeah.
You're waiting for...
You know what I am? I'm Jeff Driscoll. I like being Jeff Driscoll.
I got news for you. If you want to take the hits and let me hold a clipboard, I'll flip-flop.
Nothing wrong with a clipboard. No. I can say now.
You're good at that, right?
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
I'm surprised because I saw you do it. I thought you were one of the best in the league.
Speaking
I really
of
did.
Training, it's not like you just go out there and chart 100. You got to practice that stuff at home.
You can get carpal tunnel. No question. It's bad. You did a lot of work in that regard.
Absolutely.
No doubt. Did you cash checks when you were doing that, too?
Absolutely.
Well, see? I mean,
paid the chart.
What a win-win. It's a win-win.
There you go. Right. He's our legit.
Then they ask you to go in. You're like, I ain't going in.
Look at my handwriting. It's pristine.
It's immaculate.
He's Tony Pike, and we continue segment number two. Ohio gets underway this week. We'll take a look at some of the big games in the Skyline Chili Crosstown Showdown. When we continue, you're listening to the Angry Quarterbacks from your friends at ESP Media. Welcome into the ESP Media Studios in Kenwood for the first edition of the Angry Quarterbacks. The two angry guys, I'm Tom Gamble, he's Richard Skinner, and a legitimate quarterback.
A real-time quarterback.
Have some credence. He would be Tony Pike.
Tony
Pike. Redding.
Pike, yes. I mean, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're thinking Orange Bowl.
I know, my bad. Sorry about that, dude.
Redding,
I know that was bad. I'm so sorry.
And in the NFL.
No, I work with Mo Egger a lot. I mean, I hear that all the time.
Does he call you that?
He called me that on air after the Orange Bowl.
Yeah.
Well, that's rough.
He said, well, tonight Tony Pike became Tony Pick.
Wow, that's harsh.
Yeah.
You're just out there trying.
Yeah, I can laugh at it now.
It wasn't funny then.
No, not at all.
All right, so here we go.
The plane ride wasn't very funny either, was it?
No.
Segment number two. This is the first week of games. Actually, you could have played yesterday, which was Monday, if anybody wanted to do that, you know, the way the OHSA
could
does.
Could you really?
Yeah, you can. Starts on that Monday.
I thought you'd have to petition for that.
No. Starts on the Monday. Now, nobody does. So we've got a game on Wednesday, two on Thursday, and then almost everybody on Friday and a couple on Saturday. But let's talk about these. I'm going to let you, Richard Skinner, who works for Local 12, local12.com.
Oh.
I know.
Yeah.
That.
We knew that.
But you did a local 12. Do you know it off the top of your head?
I know most of it. Okay. I do know most of it.
So now you're doing the 12. This is, and in the
we're
preseason.
Doing the 12 between between the tri-state. Then we're breaking down six teams in divisions 3 through 7 and six in Northern Kentucky and in Indiana combined. So there you go.
All right, give me the let's
number. The overall top 12 is.
Would you not agree?
I think
though,
I can do this. I think.
Okay, but preseason, you have to be very careful. You don't read too much into scrimmages.
No doubt. All right, no doubt.
All right.
X starts as number one.
Defending D1 state champ, hard to argue.
Colerain starts as number two.
Okay.
I didn't have them this high, but I was convinced by other members of the staff to move them.
Wait,
because,
let me guess.
Yes.
Mason.
Nope. LaSalle.
No? Okay.
Just because the point is, look, they've won three straight state championships. Hard to deny them of that.
Okay. New coach.
Yes, correct.
I mean, think about that. Fourth year and third new coach.
Yep, that is correct.
A good way to go in. Hey, we've won three straight titles. Right. No pressure here.
Right.
I don't know that I want to be this guy.
I don't.
I really don't. I mean, it's one of those where.
I don't know, Tony, if you know Jim Hilvert very well at all. And I've covered him when he was back at Thomas
Jim's a
Moore.
Good dude.
That first year, I did a game for Time Warner, semifinal game. And he was very confident. I talked to him before the game, very confident going in. I saw him afterwards when they were down a couple touchdowns, came back and won. And you could just tell the relief of at least getting to the state. It was more relief than being happy about a victory. Yep. And there's something to be said for that, man. When that pressure is, you either win it or you failed. Man, oh, man. Look, I'm a big competition guy and all that, too. But that's a tough place to be.
But I can't argue. Yeah. I mean, again, they've won three in a
Correct.
Row.
All right, I got Elder four.
All right. They were young last year.
Yes.
Got almost everybody coming back.
Fairfield five, and maybe I'm basing that off of two guys.
Well, but I mean,
but they're two really good guys.
And honestly, Fairfield has been pretty good. I mean, I think most people believe this could be the best team Jason Krause has had at Fairfield.
And Malik Van, from what I understand, is just,
looks unbelievable.
He like kills teammates in practice.
Yeah, just ridiculous.
That is a great get for UC. Six was Mason.
Yeah.
Moeller's down at seven.
So, but here, Fairfield and Mason, I think, you know, Colerain has the winning streak that I think goes back to the beginning of time in the GMC. You know, and again, I still think they're going to be very, very good. I do. But I think this might, if there was a year where there's a couple teams that have a shot, I think it's Fairfield and Mason.
Yeah.
I do. In the GMC to be Colerain.
All right, I forgot the rest.
All right, so you got Moeller.
I forgot the rest. I can tell
you. So you made it to seven.
Hang on. I can do some of this backwards. Number 12, I had Springboro.
Okay.
11, Winton Woods, which was 5-5 and could have probably been 8-2 or 9-1
last
year.
And their schedule is ungodly. I mean, because they're not in the league.
Correct.
And they have to just go find. Nobody wants to play them.
Number 10 was Simon Kenton.
All right.
9 was Turpin.
Okay.
Who the hell was 8? I can't remember.
I don't know. Did you have Covenant Catholic in there?
I did not. I may have to put them in there. They're going to have to give me one or two more
good Turpin
wins.
Is one. I mean, Kent McCullough, who was at Harrison, takes over. And going into the postseason last year, Turpin was undefeated at all three levels. Freshman, JV, and varsity. That's pretty
good. Pretty good.
I mean, it really
that's
it truly
pretty darn
is.
Good.
Now, Moeller's an interesting one.
I knew when he went for the glasses, we were in trouble.
Well, dude, and not that's only glasses. Now, I mean, look, will you look at the, I mean,
try to look
like
it up.
Your grandpa.
Right. I got it. Hang on. Keep going. Hang on. Keep talking, boys. I'll find it. I got it. I got
it. You don't have it if you need to keep talking because you're still looking.
I got it. Hang on. All right, here we go. I got it.
All right, you got it now? Give me 12.
I missed 8 with Sycamore.
Okay.
8 with Sycamore, 9 Turpin, 10 Simon Kenton, 11 Winton Woods, 12
Sycamore. I mean, starting with Ravon Bonner.
Right.
I mean, they lost. Yeah. I mean, he was really a lot of their offense.
And I probably am showing them too much respect.
Well, that's a team, a couple minutes from beating St. X last year
in
the playoffs?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, had them finished. For goodness sakes.
But it is the one team I find interesting is Moeller.
Yep.
I mean, you look at the last 2 years, 5-5, last year, the first losing season in the history of the program. Which what that says is you got a hell of a program. And really, I mean, let's not forget in 2012 and 2013, they won back-to-back Division I state championships. We're only in 2017. You know, they're in that gotta have a quarterback who can make plays. You gotta avoid injury, which they've already been kind of stung by a little bit. I just, and again, look at the league you're in. I mean, that's part of the issue in the GCL South is
there's never a week off.
No. And to be honest with you, the GMC for the most part is like that as well. I mean, it's rough week in and week out.
I'll ask you as a player, even at the college level, because at Reading, there's probably a couple teams in the CHL that were weeks off, right?
Yes, okay. Yes.
But really, college football, other than maybe your opener when you're playing Austin Peay or whomever.
Correct.
From that point forward, a lot of times, there's not a week you go, unless you're Alabama and you're playing Kentucky, there's not a week where you go, whoo, and I tell you, you start to pile those weeks together, that's hard,
which
man.
I think, and then you talk about how many numbers do you have, how
many
injuries can you sustain.
Right.
That's why I love the 11 weeks to play 10, just because it's when you start looking at the GCL schedule, I mean, you need a week sometime in between to get some kind of break and some kind of reprieve, because you got guys banged up, you got, you know, now you look at concussion stuff, everything that goes on, but it is. It's a tough situation. I agree with you. Muller to me has been one that I looked at all offseason, because you got McBride, who's a great athlete at quarterback.
No question.
Suffered some injury stuff last year. I've had a chance to work with their backup, Mitch McKenzie, a little bit, who's looked great in scrimmages. So for right now, they maybe have two guys deep there. When you got a guy like Bates at tight end, that can go out and play. And then Aeneas Hawkins on D. You have some dudes.
Yeah, you have some dudes.
But it's just little, you know, can you avoid turnover? Can you avoid every team, the
injuries? Here's what I wonder. I wonder with Mulder this. You know, your state winners in 2012, 2013, they made a decent playoff run in 2014.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, 5-5, 4-6.
Yep.
So you hear, you know, there's one program in town, particularly Division I, where you hear, and I've talked to their young coach, it's Oak Hills, it's Kyle Prosser.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll tell you, we've got to get, and I thought they did a nice job last year, but he'll tell you, you got to get out of those games when you're playing good teams, where when a couple things go wrong, the mentality isn't, oh boy,
here we go again.
So I wonder if you're Moeller, with their schedule, do you now, because the seniors have been through 5-5 and 4-6, can you potentially, do you think as a player, can that creep, even though you're at Moeller, can that creep into your mind?
That can definitely creep up, especially, like you said, look at the, in your own conference and what you got. LaSalle, 3 state titles in a row.
Yeah.
Elder's bringing a ton of guys back.
St.
And then
X
you look at the
ones,
top class, you got, you know, St. X with Wolf, you got Basevich. I mean, St. X, I went and watched their scrimmage versus Milford. And St. X looks like they have 4 football teams on the sideline.
That's crazy.
And Milford had maybe 10 subs. I mean, it's insane. We talk about numbers, the numbers that St. X has. And with the success, now that continues to grow. Because you think about mentality.
No
at
question.
4-5 last year, St. X team rallies, wins, and wins state.
Yeah.
If you've gone through a couple bad years, now all of a sudden, you know, 2-3, 2-4,
well,
something like
honest.
That creeps in, and you're in a lot of trouble.
St. X went from last year to an unbelievable finish.
Yep. Oh, incredible.
I mean, where the mindset coming into this year is completely different.
Yep.
Now, I will tell you, Moeller, too, they play at Hamilton, because that's one of the games, unfortunately, had to move from Nippert Stadium at Hamilton Saturday night in the Skyline Chili Crosstown Showdown. That's not going to be an easy one.
No.
I mean, Chad Murphy's done a nice job at Hamilton. And that's, to me, there are games early in the season that are barometer games. Milford at Oak Hills. If you're Kyle Prosser, you got Elder the week after at the Pit.
Yep.
So you got to win that game. If you're Tom Grippa, you're at Milford now trying to turn it around and get off. I think, you know, you don't want to put too much stock in week one. But for some programs, depending on what their aspirations legitimately are, week one's how about Mason at Springboro?
Right.
So you got two.
Well, and for both of those teams, both of them ranked, those could be big Harbin games
Absolutely.
Down the hill where one of those teams loses and goes and wins 7-8 games. That's a huge Harbin game.
I think a couple other games that are interesting, Princeton at West Claremont. I mean, West Claremont, and I think people need – look, I think Nick Ayers is a tremendous football coach. Glenn Estee, where he coached previously – West Claremont, for those who don't know, is a combination of Amelia Glen Estee. They're combining enrollments.
Has 67,000 students.
2,500, which is a ton. But you got to remember, I mean, Glen Estee, two of the last 3 years, not last year, but the two previous, made
were
the
very
playoffs,
good. Yeah,
played
very
LaSalle
good.
In the first round. That was their only issue. But last year,
not so good.
So, and I think people have sometimes a little unrealistic expectation. I mean, I think West Claremont down the road is going to really be a factor, but the ECC is not an easy league anymore.
Well, that's interesting, too. And then you look at Princeton on the other end. Princeton, how their season ended last year, thinking you're going to play. I mean, that's – I understand Pat McLaughlin went to LaSalle, but you bring back Mike Daniels, who arguably the best player they've ever had.
Yep.
Yeah, who I like a ton. I think he's going to do a good job.
You got guys rallying around that, and you got a group of guys coming back that are hungry and upset from last year.
Right.
You let that build into the offseason. That's a team that – you know, could come out and maybe surprise a couple people right away. But it is. It all goes down to week one and saying, hey, I don't want to put too much pressure on this, but when you look at the rest of our schedules,
we need
this
it.
Is one we – if you're going down your schedule and you got question mark, that's one you got to win. It's interesting to see how you come out because it's so early in the season and you still got things to iron out.
You're listening to the Angry Quarterbacks Podcast. I'm Tom Gamble. He's Richard Skinner. We're the two angry guys. Legitimate quarterback in the room as well, Tony Pike, hence the Angry Quarterbacks. We're talking about the first week of the Ohio high school football season. So the ECC, I mean, you look Anderson, Evan Dreyer, you got a talented QB coming back. They're going to throw it all over the place, score a lot of points. Turpin should be good again. I mean, this
league, I did a couple of their games on TV last year. They were a lot of fun. They're good. I mean, they're just solid good.
Well, that's what I mean. This league, I mean, you
Kings.
Know, Loveland, Kings with Andy Olds, they're good almost every year.
Yeah, Loveland loses, though. They lost
some guys. But nonetheless, I mean, Fred Cranford's done a good
job.
He's a
good coach.
In that league, and then we get to the your old league, the CHL, and I think
One of the more dominant.
Indian Hill lost a ton. I mean, it did. The Braves lost a ton. I would guess Wyoming's would probably be the favorite.
Yeah. I don't think year in and year out right now, Wyoming's going to be up there. I think Madeira's brought some good stuff. They got some momentum going. I've seen the quarterback at Marymount a couple times. I think they got a little momentum building. But it is, for the time being, it's going to be Wyoming and everyone else. Until maybe you get, when you get to the CHL schools, you might have guys that are sophomores or juniors that you haven't seen or heard of before. And all of a sudden come out and make plays. But I think this year, above any conference to conference, there's a lot more parity than what we've seen.
I would agree.
Going into the last couple years of, well, they're the clear-cut favorite, and then it's a chase. This could be a year where someone could maybe dethrone someone that just runs the
top. That's what
of
I mean.
League.
I'm not telling you Cole Rain's going to be dethroned. I just think not so
somebody
much.
Somebody needs to beat them consistently in that league first.
But I'm just saying I'm not saying this because I think Cole Rain is coming down. I think a couple others are coming up.
So
the Fairfield, the Mason, West is always talented. I think East has looked pretty good in scrimmages. So I mean it's going to be interesting. I love this time of year and so much, there are going to be so many scores this week where you go, "Huh?"
Yeah, you're right.
It's you just do. I mean, you never know. Loveland Sycamore. Loveland's hosting Sycamore in the crosstown showdown.
West is a team too. West has some size and I mean I've got to see their football team up close cuz we do some work in training with those guys. They have men that are on. If they can find a way to just get over that hump,
right? That's the thing.
They always have those guys.
They just can't get over the hump for whatever reason. Other than the year they were the 16 seed and
knocked off Centerville, the number one seed, right? So and of course, at least now we don't have 16. We have 8.
That's true.
Looking at that list that year was ridiculous.
It was crazy. Yes.
All right, there you have it. Two segments are in the books. We're going to talk
one thing we didn't talk about though was competitive balance. The changes. Do you like that? I don't like that.
I don't either. That's why I don't talk about it. I guess really in the servicing the program, I probably should bring that up.
That's
right?
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, let's settle that.
There's not a – the problem
See,
is,
I just tried to play quarterback on this show and
well,
I
you
failed.
Did. See that? Now you get the S on the end.
I threw a pick six and that's it.
Right. But here's – at the end of the day, here's the problem.
That's it. Just bench me, dude. I'm good. I just came to the sideline. Just say you're done. That's it. I'm good.
No, I'm actually going to answer this quickly, and then I'm going to put you on the bench.
Okay.
But the reality of it is
– thanks, Coach.
You can't fix this. Nobody's ever going to be – there's not a perfect way to do this.
No.
To do anything.
Just stop trying to appease everybody.
Well, pretty soon there's going to be
– just compete. Just go freaking compete.
And now we'd like to award the Division 13 trophy. Yep. I mean, that's the problem. I mean –
have six-man football again. Yeah.
Now, I would tell you in football, you do need – I mean, unlike in bad, but you don't
know if
need
you need seven.
No.
And you don't need to keep moving them up and down because of this and that and the other thing.
Well, and there's so many different ways to look at the numbers of the moving up and down. We're done now.
Okay.
That segment two's done. All right, when we continue, we'll have more.
Benched.
We'll more have more football.
And I don't have good handwriting. I'm not a good clipboard guy.
No,
I just cut.
Let me tell you what. If you
I can hold for kicks.
It's going to be
can
tough
be the
to
holder?
Find a spot for you.
Can I be the holder? Yeah.
If you wrote something down on that clipboard, like, what the hell is this?
My hand's atrocious.
Awful.
It's just atrocious.
Once I tried to hold the football for somebody, they broke my finger. Jackass in the neighborhood. They did.
But he finds ways around it. I've seen him with the recorder.
The recorder. I talk in the recorder.
He talks
now.
On the recorder a
do
lot.
You really
of
do?
Using that.
Because you can't read your crap.
It's exactly the reason why
I cannot
read my own stuff.
I have never seen this. So you do. So what? What do you put into the recorder? Thoughts.
Like watching plays. Thoughts.
He works play by play.
I do.
I did some of the Bengals stuff with him. He works play by play every play.
Yeah. Just to make sure.
Incredible.
Just so I don't miss something.
I would love one
3-yard
time,
run tackled by 57.
No, here. I mean, and that's and why
AJ McCarron fumbled
yep,
snap.
AJ McCarron here's fumbled snap. And then I throw stuff like that was really a sucky play. Just yeah. so
here's
I know.
What I'll do. I'll come over one night. I'll sit under your deck, which is the dumbest damn thing I've ever heard. You build a deck to sit on it,
but then I've got it's a nice little patio area.
Here's what I'm gonna do. You get the recorder out. And we'll play a drinking game.
Maybe well, I can play drinking games.
I'll just say, no. This will,
what's the drink? How are we going to play this?
I'll come up. Between now and next week, I'll come up.
I'll win.
One. Well, can you bring that in next week so I can just hear a couple of them
yes.
and then go?
Yes. I'll do that.
So you me. See him do
He's
this.
Seen
I've
do.
Seen it live.
Yeah. Is he by himself when he does it?
Yeah, he just kind of walks. 54.
Yep.
Jesus. I mean, this might be one of the saddest damn things I've ever
heard. And as I walk by, he's making fun of me.
Oh, hell yes, you know, he is. Because he's probably going, what the hell is he talking about?
Yeah, I feel browbeat now, man.
Talking to yourself. Well, I bet that's some riveting content when I read it later. Is it? All right. There you
I'm
have
just
it.
Just trying to make sure segment, I got it in
I
my head.
I want to be there when he goes back through and listens to all of it.
It only takes about 10 minutes to type it all out. It really does. That's the best part
so
of it.
So you go back, you get in front of your computer, then you play it and you type it out.
Yes.
57 tackled 3.
If I had my laptop, I'd show it to you. I really would.
My God. Please, I'm glad you didn't bring your laptop. All right, when we continue, we might pick this up a little bit.
Can't block. And he sucks.
Like when I call you about Mike Leake?
Yes.
Like, I'm not the Cardinals GM, but I got two eyes, 1.5 eyes. And
23,
I can see
too old to cover 18.
All right, there you go.
Just stuff like that.
Moving right along, you're listening to the Angry Quarterbacks from ESP Media. Welcome into the ESP Media Studios, segment number 3 of our first edition 2017.
16, just threw another pick.
The Angry Quarterbacks. That's just wrong. I'm Tom Gamble. He's Richard Skinner. We are the two angry guys, and then a guy who actually played quarterback at multiple levels.
Yes, he did.
Reading High School, University of Cincinnati, and in the NFL, he would be Tony Pike. And now I hear your little updates down there. You get to get asked questions and give little Bengal updates while he's whatever the hell he's jabbering into a computer.
See, he's talking actually on the radio to somebody professionally, and I'm mumbling into a microphone, into a tape recorder.
I really do. So what I want you to do next week, and then you go home and transcribe that. You type it onto your computer, right?
65 pull,
so I want
good
you to
kick out on 57.
Just take a select day and bring me top to bottom of the select, and then I'm just going to I'll put it in front of me, I'll read it, and then we'll try to discern what the hell any of it
means.
All right,
you got it.
Oh, yo. All right, here we go.
Five having another bad day.
College football, about to start. The first one is
26.
What?
Actually, there's a handful of games on
this
Saturday,
right?
Yes, correct.
Okay, none of the, that's not yet, though. That's not any of the made-for-TV early season. Right?
I think CBS Sports Network's got a couple of those games. All Hawaii's right. playing. There's a game in Australia.
Nothing that's going to really factor
what?
In.
No, correct. There's a game in Australia, Stanford and somebody.
Why?
I don't know. I'm just giving you a fact.
Okay, that,
I guess they want to see
NFL's
it.
NFL's doing London. We're doing Australia.
Right, there you go.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now, I'm going to ask Tony, because obviously you played college football. Are you like me getting somewhat tired of the same programs every year at the top? I mean, just
– Yeah, you really can. You can basically just pull out last year's preseason
right, and
top
start
10
again.
And just start again.
Alabama, Ohio yep. State, Clemson.
Oklahoma. Washington.
I mean, I don't know. Is that good for college football or bad? I know there's that theory with Alabama being polarizing. Either love or you hate Alabama. Is that good for college football?
I don't think it is, but I think, as we spoke about with high school, I think there's going to be more parity this year. I think especially when you look at the Big Ten, I don't think it's just going to be Ohio State running away with it this year. You got Wisconsin,
Penn State.
Yeah. Michigan State will be back a little bit. So there's a lot in the Big Ten, but I just don't see in the SEC anyone that is going to be anywhere close to surpassing Alabama anytime soon, because when you get to this level and you're that elite, you basically just handpick the guys you want. Yeah. And when they receive an offer from Alabama,
well,
or they receive
some of
an offer from Ohio State,
leave.
That's where you're going to
well,
go.
Even I think there was a kid, I think Kentucky might have had a kid quarterback, if I'm not mistaken. And yep. I think Alabama came in at the last
right.
second, and he said, "I'm going there." I get it. I mean,
right.
I get the kid's decision.
Yeah. I mean, you can't disagree with what he's doing. If one of those schools comes knocking. Now, the only thing you can do, and I think all the local schools have had great recruiting seasons, especially for 2018. But I think what you can do is start to pitch the idea of, hey, we have an opportunity for you to come and play
as a freshman or a sophomore.
That's
what I was going to ask you. Do you reach a point, and I know there have been a number of guys, the quarterbacks in particular, who've transferred from Alabama who are leaving. Do you reach a point where even though you're talented, and I guess the mentality is when you're kind of young and you think you're good enough to be that
right.
guy, but is there a point where there's like, I'm not going there because they already got dudes? I mean,
right.
if you're at Alabama, you may not – at quarterback.
Well, but the only thing about Alabama is that state, it doesn't matter. You got between that
right.
Mississippi and that
yeah.
part of Georgia, whatever they want to handpick, you still are going to get your guys. But I think to Tony's point, in this area, that's the idea you pitch all of a sudden
yeah.
is, hey, look,
yep.
you can come here and play. And in this area, Ohio State can only take so many. It's such a good
right.
area
sure.
that you got a chance to do it. Chuck Martin did that, obviously, at Miami.
Yep.
Mark Stoops came into Ohio, started doing
yeah.
that at Kentucky. And Luke Fickell, obviously, because
yeah.
the recruiting classes the last couple were so damn bad,
oh, yeah.
he went in and had a chance to mend
yeah.
some fences with guys
yep.
in this area, and it's worked out great.
But you can. When you want to play at the next level, so if you're in college and you want to play in the NFL – The biggest thing you can have is experience. If you got a 3-year guy over a 1-year guy, you're going to take a long look at that 3-year guy, even no matter where he played at. So it is. It's great to see Miami with Chuck Martin and what they're doing and saying, hey, come here and play for 3 or 4 years and you know, have a chance with all this good film. You're still going to play good talent. You're still going to have games against maybe teams that you're supposed to lose to. But
yeah.
I mean, it's the thing. My brother went through it at Wake Forest. You know, they're not the
right.
perennial year in and year out. But I said, hey, you got a chance every year to go up against Clemson, Louisville,
sure.
Florida State.
Yeah. Right.
And you're going to put tape together now going against the best of the best. And as a player, if you're not one of those guys at Ohio State competing against probably 6 other guys.
That are yeah. first-round guys.
Well, right. Then you've got a chance to play.
I think that Miami-UC game, which is in Oxford this year, should be interesting. I mean, from the standpoint of if you're UC, that's kind of one you've essentially won the majority of them recently. And if you're Luke Fickell, that's one where you kind of need to win. But
yep.
if you're Miami, you need to win it too because you got all that momentum from the second half.
And truth be told, as we sit here today, Miami would probably be a favorite. A slight favorite, but they would probably be a favorite.
Yeah, I can't agree. I've been to a lot of the UC stuff in preseason, and the attitude, the energy, everything is completely different. I mean, you can tell it's on the up and up, but at the end of the day, with what you had from the last couple of years
yeah.
in recruiting, there's not a lot you can hide from that. So while you can scheme around different stuff and you can make sure guys are playing hard for 4 quarters and this and that, you're still going to look at the paper and say, well, they got these guys and we got these guys
yes.
right now. And I think that's where the, like you said, the favorites will come out of that.
Yeah.
Out of that.
Well, obviously, coaching and scheme matters at all levels. But at the end of the day, if you don't have the players to execute,
yep.
right.
it doesn't matter.
Right.
So, from what you've seen, you see different approach, but how good or how much better than what we've seen the last couple of years? And last year, as it tailed off, what we talked about, that
yep.
was disastrous. How much better can this team be from what you've seen so far?
Well, I think it starts at quarterback. I think Hayden has a little bit of an edge right now. And you're looking at a guy that 2 years ago in his first game came in at Memphis
500 yards.
And set passing records for the history of the school. So it's hard because at that point there's only one way to go and it's down. But everyone still expects that where's the 500 point? Where's the 500 yards? Where's the, so I think he just lost a lot of confidence last year, and I think watching him at camp, a lot of that is built back up. So if you can get solid quarterback play, running back, Boone is a stud.
How much does he need to settle on a guy, at least say it's your job Big. Until you prove otherwise? Huge. I'm not going to – one bad yep. series isn't going to change my mind, but, hey, look, yep. if you start to fail, I'll switch, but I'm not – you're my guy.
Yeah, because what I saw last year was guys that would come off after one or two bad series and almost like they're waiting for the phone
right,
to ring.
Right.
Now you have to – I know it's been a close race, but you got to say this is our guy, and barring injury or just a nightmare – performance, then we're sticking with you. Because right. if as a quarterback, if you're looking over your shoulder after a couple series, you're already done.
Yeah, right.
Because it's already in your head. You got to have all the confidence. And as the backup, you got to help out that guy as much as possible. That they missed that last year, and we spoke about it.
Man, no question.
Just communication on the sideline. Hey, this is what I'm seeing. You got to want that guy to do well, knowing, hey, I'm one snap away from going in it regardless. But I think it'll be key to say, this is our guy, and this is our guy going forward. We're going to keep him there.
I'm ready for college football. I'm ready to inform my family that from noon to midnight and
you're
sometimes
a sloth.
Later.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I fade in and out depending on the game, but I don't I watch.
I love it outside,
out on the deck. I sit on top of my deck and I watch.
But
I
you
love,
don't have like a two-story
no,
deck
don't.
Like
but
I got.
I love watching out there. When it's cool breeze in the fall, maybe a beverage or two.
That's what leads to the nap.
Oh, yeah, that could knock you right out. But I tell you know what leads to the nap on Sunday? Just watching the NFL. It just knocks me out.
You and I talk.
Oh, my God.
I cover it. Tony, you were down there at camp. I'm not sure I've seen the product be any worse than it is today. And my question for you, because you played it, why? What? Maybe I'm overstating that, but why?
No, I just think the game, because of all these limitations that people have now, it's changed everything. You don't have as much competition, you don't have as much live. If you don't go live at practice, there's no energy. I mean, there was a couple times watching the Bengals camp.
Fall asleep.
It's like you're at a country club because, you know, they get out on the field at 3.
55 standing around.
They get out at 3, they start practicing, they go through stretching, they go through walkthroughs, and then it's 3:40 and all of a sudden they got 1 hour and practice is done.
Right.
And it's just, it's a situation where you don't bring any energy. You don't get to see guys the best going up against the best as much as you used to, unless you do the joint practices, which I like.
And the Bengals didn't do that this year.
Bengals
didn't work into their schedule.
Bengals didn't into it. But I think when I watched the Bengals this year, and then I went and watched a 2.5 hour practice against the Patriots and Texans.
Different.
You see a lot of the reason why those two teams are where they're at right now, and where the Bengals are where they're at, because there's just not enough energy, and there's just not. You just don't see as much passion. It's almost like when you get guys that are set at starter, you know, like we've talked about with A.J. McCarron all camp, and I'll bring it up. A.J. McCarron's not going to beat out Andy Dalton in camp.
Correct.
But because A.J. McCarron wasn't traded in the offseason, he knows that his number two job is pretty secure because they're not going to cut him.
No doubt.
Because then he gets what he wants. So where's the drive for an A.J. McCarron? And that has to be self-motivated. I just don't think we see as many players doing that. Like I said, Houston Texans, New England Patriots training camp, 2.5 hour practice, Tom Brady – by 20 minutes, was out on the field by himself doing individual drills. Not even deep passes, but
doesn't
footwork.
Need to do it. Doesn't
have
to do it.
But you want to continue to be elite. You have to find ways to push yourself, and that even sticking around after practice. We didn't see that as much this year.
Yeah, Andy worked a little bit with
John Ross early
just,
in
yeah.
camp, but
yeah.
Like receivers on the jugs machines, and you know you just don't see guys working extra on their craft as much anymore.
Here's the thing for me: if I were an NFL general manager, I'd do one thing. I would try to emulate New England any possible way. I mean, what the hell? I don't get why more team. And I realize New England doesn't want to give away its secrets. But at the end of the day.
But it's funny. I don't know what those secrets are because they just have a way of taking guys and getting the most out of them.
Well,
the most value out of them.
The one secret is there's no nonsense.
Also, that's been created because it's understood. And we saw the Vontaze Burfict fight earlier
right,
in camp.
Right.
It just nothing kind of happened. The day before, Julian Edelman got in a fight, one of their best receivers, and gets kicked out of camp.
Practice.
Well,
so
nothing's
like, you know,
going to happen here, I can tell
you.
Yeah,
the answer we got that day, actually, I don't think you were part of that when we talked to Marvin, was we'll take care of ourselves.
Right.
Well, okay.
Like
maybe you will. Maybe I won't see it, but I don't see it.
But you're not
so,
making a public statement
like
kicking out one of your best players.
Correct.
And then, you know, now Julian Edelman comes back focused. He comes back ready
as opposed to the nonsense
just keeps kind of carrying over.
So how much of this, and this has been, I know you and I have kicked this around forever, but it seems to me like the NFL product, and this is just my own opinion, is very homogenized. Everybody pretty much, for the most part, does things. And you hear, well, you have to do it this way because these are the best. I get all that. But what about the constant just roaming? This guy gets fired here. He gets picked up there. Then he loses his job there, and he goes over here. Well, I mean, he's not going to be any different. He's got the same ideas.
It's become a buddy system.
It has. Very much. Yes. And how much of that is a factor? I mean, you watch Team A. I try to watch that Browns-Giants game last night. My God. And I get the fact that I understand it's preseason. I get all that. But good Lord.
Another question I'll get for you, Tony, is, and I think you see this with offensive linemen more than any other position group. The college game is so unlike the NFL game today. I mean, the majority of college teams are very spread-oriented, very finesse-oriented. Again, you're trying to win college year, college coach, you're getting paid well, you're trying to win games, I get that. But I think some of it is, I'm not sure guys coming in the NFL are even close to prepared, and you're kind of, and teams, I mean, like Cedric Ogbuehi, physical specimen, good athlete, all the tangibles, and he still might be a good player. I'm not here to crap on him and suggest he's going to be awful, but he came out of a system that was very spread-oriented. Yep. You don't know what he can do, all told. You think he can do some things. I think that's where teams are taking these chances on guys that they just don't know because there's no way to read what they can do.
Well, the problem becomes is now you have defensive ends that are –
70 can't block. Sorry.
Yeah, 96, ran right by
him. Ran right by 70.
You get defensive linemen, defensive ends now that are 6'6", 6'7", and run 4'6", or 4'7".
Yeah.
So the speed – and that's what colleges are doing. They have to adjust how they play that to play faster. I'm surprised – we haven't. I know the Chip Kelly experiment failed, but I'm surprised we haven't seen more implementation of. Because what you see in NFL, when teams get a little sense of urgency and go into the 2-minute drill,
it's amazing how
it's
things
amazing
work.
How things and not just pick up for that, but it picks up their energy and picks up their levels. I'd like to see more teams try to do that because you don't have that in the NFL. And what else you don't have is a farm system like the NBA or MLB baseball has.
Correct.
You rarely get guys anymore. Yeah. Like Aaron Rodgers that can go sit for 3 years behind
can't
Brett Favre.
You can't afford it.
And you have nowhere to send these guys to say, hey, go get better for a couple. Because when you release them, they get picked up somewhere else. So you don't have any of
that's
that.
That's true.
You just – it is. You end up – unless you're one of the top few drafts, you're ended up taking chances on guys
and
you
you're
don't
right
know
about
if they work.
The Chip Kelly thing's interesting because I really wish it would have worked. And I think to some degree it did. Unfortunately, I think his ego of – of player evaluation got in the way. He ended up getting crap players. The whole thing in San Francisco was such a mess.
Couple years,
it was working.
It was working.
Yep.
And then, I don't know, but I will tell you, I love football. I find it very – and I'll watch Bengal games because they're the Bengals and the hometown team. But, man, I mean, I saw that they're advertising the opening doubleheader. Yeah. I mean, what's that second – Denver and Los Angeles Chargers – I'd rather watch nude.
It's only 32 teams, dude. I mean, it's like well, I like the way you did that. Like Denver's some team you don't even know.
I can tell you what they've done that does not bode well in the player locker room. Thursday night football and going to London
brutal.
You get an NFL guy, you're going up against the best of the best, and now you're telling me you're playing Sunday and you got. What, 3 or 4 days to recover and game plan for the next team?
The Thursday thing is absurd.
Awful.
It's awful. It really – I mean, if you're an 11-, 12-year vet who just got beat on a Sunday and you come back on Monday, you do your treatment, you got your Tuesday off, although that week you really don't.
Right.
There's no way your body recovers by Thursday. No chance in hell.
If you're worried about the concussion issue at the NFL level, you would not have a Thursday game.
I mean, I see it all the time. You'll see guys that show up on the injury report on Wednesday as a limited participant, then maybe a limited participant on a Thursday. They're a full in the walkthrough and they're ready by Sunday. Those guys can't get ready by Thursday.
Well, think how many head-on collisions a running back takes in the course of a game. And an offensive lineman, you can't come back in that short period of time. But they do that color rush stuff, and I'm sure the players love
so cool.
That makes up for the body being tired because those uniforms
it helps them.
Are awesome.
It does something for them, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Puts more money in their pockets.
It'll be interesting, the NFLPA, when this comes up again. I mean, that'll be
Well, you just heard that they're likely headed to a strike is what they're talking already. So
all I know is Raj better give in on marijuana because that's going to be a sticking point. All I'm saying. That's a sticking point.
What are you going to do with the notebook if they strike with the little recorder?
Sprinkler's still going on. Grass is growing.
Here I am.
Don't
under,
get started on that grass again.
I'm under the deck for the third day in a row.
Third day in a row under my deck.
So we get new grass. We have new grass next year, right?
Yeah.
I just don't understand that.
Because it burns out. It's like Bermuda. It goes dormy, and then you got to get the new grass.
Now, there are types of grass that don't burn out.
There are.
I mean,
but this is a good hardy. Do you like? I thought the practice surface was really good. Did you think that?
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
I'd like to take a 7-iron off of it.
I would too.
Think they'd let us down there, a little chipping, a little have a little fun, set up a temporary green.
Not sure we got that. Well, at Meadowwood, let me.
I hope they don't strike, because my God, what will I do with Sunday? What'll make me nap at 2:10?
Just start drinking earlier.
I've got some standards, man. I'm a professional.
You ain't got many, bro.
I don't. All right, see you under your deck. There you have it, this week's version of the Angry Quarter. We'll have a lot to talk about next week, because high school football in full swing, a full week of games, the college season getting underway to some degree, and another week of week three.
Week three of preseason.
That's right.
Preseason, buddy.
Can't wait. All right.
Dress rehearsal game. You ever heard of that?
Yeah.
Dress
for legitimate quarterback Tony Pike for
– I got through a pick six. I just
– Mumbler did, into I a recorder, and then I can't wait to read that screen next week. Richard's going to read him on 16. Local
– Were you 16? You were 16, right?
Yeah, 15 in college.
Were you?
Yeah.
But you're 16.
Just call it translation.
15 throws another pick.
Why don't you put that
Gators
on the website?
Gators running the other way.
Put that on the website.
Gators never had a pick. Virginia Tech had four. I made sure that I was going to finish 4-4 in the interceptions touchdowns.
One-to-one ratio.
When we were down 40 to Florida, I wasn't going to take any chances in any tight windows.
Dink and dunk and let her go, baby.
Yep.
All right, and I'm Tom
Pike,
Gamble.
Who finished 26 of 29 for 84 yards.
You've been listening to the Angry Quarterbacks from your friends right here at ESP Media. We'll be right back.